The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Again, Jesus left the district of Tyre and went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the Decapolis. And people brought to him a deaf man who had a speech impediment, and begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him off by himself, away from the crowd. He put his finger into the man's ears, and spitting, touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and groaned and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, "He has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. It is wonderful to be together today, isn't it? Are you convinced? Isn't it wonderful to be together today? Because, my brothers and sisters, the Lord wishes us to receive a gift today. Every time the gospel is proclaimed, every time the gospel is proclaimed in the sacred assembly of the consecrated nation of the new Israel, which is the church, who is the universal sacrament of salvation in mystery, who communicates the love of God in history, we receive the presence of God. God's love is communicated to our hearts, and something beautiful happens to us. We are liberated by God. We are claimed by God. God enters through our ears and into our hearts, and we begin to praise Him. And this praise, this song of a new people, this new song to the Lord, is an anthem of liberation. It is an anthem that has to be proclaimed from the mountaintops, from the rooftops, and from every hill and from every valley, from sea to shining sea, from sea to shining sea. Because, my brothers and sisters, this is the desire of our hearts. And if we have this gift, if we have this new identity in Christ Jesus, it is a gift that has to be lived with love and responsibility, and it is a gift that has to be given with love and responsibility. My brothers and sisters, that means that the sacred realities, the words and the deeds of revelation that are communicated by the Holy Spirit through the sacred scriptures in the heart of the church are communicated to us now, here, presently. And so the Lord Jesus is doing something magnificent today. You see, the Lord could take the straight road and the easy road into our hearts, but He desires to take the thorough road. He has proclaimed the gospel in Galilee, in His hometown, in Nazareth, in Capernaum. He has been accepted by some and rejected by many. And today He desires to return to the Decapolis, to the Gentile nations, my brothers and sisters, to us. To us who have been grafted onto the vine of Israel, who now form the Holy Israel, the new people of God, by the Holy Spirit and the precious blood of the Lamb, who consecrates us and makes us His own. The Lord Jesus decides to walk north from Galilee, in through Tyre and through Sidon, all the way around through Assyria, and down to the Decapolis, which means, my brothers and sisters, He is claiming the land. What land does He desire to claim? What territory does He desire to go into so that He can make it consecrated and holy unto Himself? My brothers and sisters, it is the sacred land of our hearts. And so today He comes to us with His hands open with the anointed hands of the Lord, and He places them in our ears. And seeing that our tongues are bound because our hearts are bound, because our hearts are imprisoned by fears and anxiety and by wounds, He desires to speak the word of authority through our ears, that it may enter our hearts, and our hearts are renewed so that we might praise the Lord with our tongues. The Lord Jesus spits on His hands, a sacred gesture, and He prepares His hands to anoint us, to liberate our tongues. And He tells us, in His authority, Ephphatha, be open. My brothers and sisters, these sacred gestures were prophesied by Isaiah. In a day when Israel, the kingdom, the northern kingdom of Israel, was destroyed by Assyria, by Sennacherib and his army, and they are marching south into Jerusalem, into Judea, Hezekiah, who was the king, could see what was coming. But the Lord raised up a prophet, Isaiah. And the prophet Isaiah was to foretell a new day. A new day when the land would not be consecrated by military arms, by force and by power, but by hearts that are converted by God. By hearts that become the sacred presence of God. So that where there is a true Israelite in the land, and whether Assyria or Syria or Babylon or the Chaldeans or the Medes or the Romans or the Greeks occupy the land, that Israel is a free people. Because the heart of the chosen person, of the chosen people, is made free by God. And so the dumb would learn to speak. Those who would not hear would hear the word of God and keep it in their hearts. And they would profess the Lord. They would profess their fidelity to God. And this would make Israel a light to the nations. This would mean that even in the diaspora and the synagogues throughout Palestine and Egypt and Rome and in Babylon herself, that Israel would proclaim that the Lord is God and there is no other. And this is salvation for all the nations. My brothers and sisters, nothing can chain the Word of God. Nothing, no human power, no angelic principality can imprison the Word of God. And the Word of God has a destination. The destination of the Word of God is our hearts. The Word of God is called to circumcise our hearts, to go through our ears and rend our hearts open and worthy to be the sacred dwelling of the Lord God. And for us to say there is no other God but the Lord Himself, and Jesus Christ is Lord. This is freedom, my brothers and sisters. This is a freedom without the false images of the false gods that we construct in our own lives. With freedom from all the false gods and the false images and the false religions that we seek to impose on one another. And there is only one religion of the human heart. And it is love. Love is true, is the truth and the freedom that sets us free. My brothers and sisters, today the Lord Jesus wants our hearts to be opened by His unconditional, uncompromising, indefatigable, totally conquering love. My brothers and sisters, this is the joy that we experience. And my brothers and sisters, when this happens to us, when we begin to experience the personal love of Christ for us, something beautiful happens in our hearts. We begin to be transformed. We begin to realize that we are loved. And this is the love that sets us free. This is the love that brings healing and peace to our hearts. And this is the love that confirms in our hearts that we are capable of love. That we are capable of forgiving those who hurt us. And that we are able to make choices for love. And so the Lord Jesus can say, be not afraid. Be not afraid of what, my brothers and sisters? Be not afraid of everything that seeks to chain the Word of God. Be not afraid of love. Be not afraid to love the way that I have loved you. And my brothers and sisters, there is a particular liberation the Lord Jesus wishes to communicate to our hearts. Yesterday we commemorated the feast day, September 5th, of a woman who became known in her simplicity and her poverty as a sign of love and history. A woman who became, in her poverty and particularity and her courage, a living sign for every person on the face of the earth that God is love, and that it is love that is the comfort and the consolation, the path of freedom of the human heart. Yesterday we commemorated the feast day of Blessed Teresa of Calcutta. My brothers and sisters, she is called the saint in the streets of Calcutta. In her own life, she was called to be the light of the world, the light of Christ in the world. She was called by the Lord to be His light to others. This required of her a particular suffering, which is accounted in a book on her, which was to participate in and share in the darkness and in the despair of the poorest of the poor, of those who are so far from God and so far and so rejected by their brothers and sisters of the human family that they despair of their own life. So Teresa was sent to them in the streets of Calcutta, to the poorest of the poor, experiencing the desolation in their hearts, but bringing the light and the love of Christ. And not so that they would receive the best medical care, not so that the problems of poverty and injustice and all the wounds would be healed, or the causes of those wounds would be healed, but so that those people would receive an awareness of their dignity, that they would be loved. She would be the living image and presence of the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the life of the Church. My brothers and sisters, there is a path of healing in our own hearts. There is a path of healing that the Lord Jesus wishes to communicate to us today when He says, "Be open to us." He sends His Mother to us, of whom St. Maximilian Kolbe would say, was to whom the Lord entrusted the whole divine plan of the Lord's mercy, because the Lord entrusted Himself to her. My brothers and sisters, it is the Blessed Virgin Mary who has given the authority to walk freely in our hearts with her maternal presence and her maternal authority to unloosen the knots of those wounds, to give us the capacity to believe that we can forgive, that we don't have to be dominated by the anger that seeps up in our hearts, that we can reconcile ourselves with the Lord, that we can take responsibility for those choices that we have made of which we are ashamed, those choices that we have made that are contrary to love, and those choices that we have made for which we need to seek the Lord's forgiveness. My brothers and sisters, as she begins to work in our hearts, a new heart is formed, and it is the heart of Christ. You see, we are one mind and we are one body, and we are the body of Christ. And the Lord Jesus wishes His heart to be present in us. And His sacred gestures of opening our ears and of liberating our tongues to praise Him are outward signs of the internal mystery of our redemption, our personal redemption. My brothers and sisters, when we experience the love of the Lord Jesus, we experience the reality of what it means to be a Christian. I'd like to share some words with you. They're words that have become a kind of spiritual manifesto in my own life, and I hope that they will become a gift for you if the Lord desires it to be so. They're words written by a man who has come to discover personally the love of Jesus Christ for him, so that he has been called to suffer much and to be elevated much by the Lord, so that all the world would know what the Lord has done in his life, so that now we see him as the universal teacher and pastor of the Church. A man who in his own right could very well be a doctor of the Church. A man who has written over 60 books. Who is probably one of the most learned men of the last century, of the current century, certainly. Our Holy Father Benedict, my brothers and sisters. In paragraph 26 of an encyclical of a letter that he wrote us on Christian hope, and realizing that love, the love of Christ for us personally is our hope. This is what he writes. It is not science that redeems man. Man is redeemed by love. This applies even in terms of this present world when someone has the experience of a great love in his life. This is a moment of redemption which gives a new meaning to his life. But soon he will also realize that the love bestowed upon him cannot by itself resolve the question of his life. It is a love that remains fragile. It can be destroyed by death. The human being needs unconditional love. He needs the certainty which makes him say, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. If this absolute love exists with its absolute certainty, then, and only then, is man redeemed. Whatever should happen to him in his particular circumstances, this is what it means to say, Jesus Christ has redeemed us. Through him we have become certain of God, a God who is not a remote first cause of the world, because his only begotten Son has become man, and of him everyone can say, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.